Now, this has a solemn message for the nations, not least for Britain. In fact, in many ways, first and foremost for Britain, because Britain played a special role in all of this. Turning to Joel chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. For behold, in those days and at that time, it is God who's speaking, when I bring back the captives of Judah and Jerusalem, so it's the time of the restoration of the Jewish people, I will also gather all nations, that's all Gentiles, and bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat. And Jehoshaphat, as a name, means the Lord judges. And I will enter into judgment with them there. That's all nations. On account of my people, my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations, they have also divided up my land. Before it was Israel's land, it was God's land. God gave it to Israel. What's the modern political word for dividing up the land? Partition, that's right. So God is going to judge the nations that have partitioned his land. Top of the list is Britain. At the end of World War I, the League of Nations gave Britain a mandate to administer the Holy Land, this land. And their specific mandate was to create a national home for the Jewish people. That was about 1919. In 1922, Winston Churchill, who was then Home Secretary, with one stroke of the British pen, created an Arab nation, which was called then Transjordan, it's now called Jordan, by which he assigned approximately 75% of the total area allotted to Israel. And in that land of Jordan, no Jew is permitted to live. Whereas in the land assigned to Israel, every Arab is perfectly free to live if he wants. So here is the Jewish people ending up with 25% approximately of what was supposed to be assigned to them. Then after World War II, the United Nations voted to partition, and they took approximately 12%, I mean, a further 12%, and gave it to Israel. So instead of getting 100%, they ended up with 12%. Who was responsible? Britain. Now, after that, as you know, the United Nations voted to give Israel a state of their own. I was an eyewitness. I was living there in that time. I was British. I'd been discharged from the British forces. I had access to a certain amount of information. Now, the British government under, what was his name? Anyhow, never mind. The Home Secretary was Bevin. They did not openly defy the United Nations, but they decided to play the game their way. And they did everything short of open conflict to frustrate the creation of the State of Israel. Now I'm speaking, I was there. I saw it with my own eyes. And they ridiculed the idea of the Jews ever having a state of their own. These Jews know nothing about farming. All they know about is making money. That was their comment. So there was a time of tremendous danger for the Jewish people, and Lydia and I were in the middle of it. We were living in the middle of Jewish Jerusalem. And what was the result? Well, this is very important. First of all, the State of Israel came into being. Number two, the British Empire fell apart. And that's the reason why it fell apart. Because they went against God's purposes for Israel. And woe to any nation and any government that goes against God's purposes for Israel. I hope we've learned our lesson.
Yes.
I believe as a nation we need to humble ourselves before God and confess this as a sin. Say, we resisted your purposes. We belittled your people. There were all sorts of anti-Semitic jibes that were made about the Jewish people at that time. But you see, no nation, no matter how powerful, how wealthy, can go against God's purposes and prosper. And I see very much the same thing happening to the United States of America. I see the same kind of political language, saying nice things, but at the same time taking it away. And I personally believe that President Clinton will crash. That's my personal opinion, because he's wrongly related to God's purposes for Israel. You can talk like a friend of Israel and be nice and say all sorts of politically correct things, but inwardly, you know what they're concerned about? In one simple word, oil. That's what motivates the superpowers. That's what motivates the European Union. Oil. Israel has no oil to offer, apparently. So we'll say nice things, we'll talk politically correct, we'll use democratic language, but at the same time, let's take care of our pocketbooks. Well, that's the way it's been.